Hello, listeners, and welcome to State of the Union, your weekly breakdown of all things Scottish independence. With me, your host, Stephen Payton. The date is Friday, the 25th of June, 2021. Let's get into it. Kicking things off this week, our fellow Europeans want to see another vote on Scottish independence soon, and would accept Scotland back into the EU in a heartbeat if we chose to rejoin, according to new research. The polling conducted by French network Euronews shows that the citizens of Germany, France, Italy and Spain are ready to welcome back a newly sovereign Scotland and either want to see a vote within the next year or do not oppose there being a second vote within the next year. It's nice to know that you're missed, huh? Unsurprisingly, resistance to Scottish independence was highest in Spain, probably due to the country's own opposition and occasionally violent suppression of Catalonia's bid for independence also. When it comes to the UK as a whole, however, there's not quite so much enthusiasm for Blighty rejoining the bloc, with a significantly higher number saying that they'd be actively opposed to it coming back. You can probably chalk that up to the fact that the UK government went out of their way to be a bumbling and difficult negotiator throughout the entirety of the process of leaving the EU. What I do think is clear, though, is that much of Europe already views Scotland as its own political entity, with different priorities and goals to the rest of the UK, hence the different results. I would argue that there's certainly an understanding of our position being pulled out of the bloc against the collective will of Scots. We might not be winning the football anytime soon, but we're doing alright on the popularity contest, at least. And it's not just the European public either. Yanis Varoufakis, the former Greek finance minister, also stated this week that the EU would accept Scotland's application to rejoin within 10 seconds. This all comes in the same week that a Scottish government report has laid out the damaging outcomes of the Tories' Brexit plans. According to the report, many of the negative impacts which were envisaged are now, 5 years on, beginning to crystallise. The Scottish government have stated that the basic trade deal cooked up by the Tories between the EU and the UK could result in Scottish GDP dropping by a stunning £9 billion lower by 2030, compared to where it would be if the UK had not left the bloc. Already, exports between the UK and the EU from January to April are already down a fifth compared to 2018. The report claims that the difference is Brexit. The Tories' dealings, however, haven't just had an impact on trade, but on migration and devolution too, according to the report, though it will take many years still to properly assess just how much damage has been done. Already though, the report found that the number of EU nationals registering in Scotland for the national insurance number in the first 3 months of 2021 has dropped to 70% below pre-pandemic levels. I've said it before, but even if Scotland does not choose to rejoin the EU after independence, there is no doubt that our relationship would be significantly better than what was foisted on us by the Tories, driven as they were by a British exceptionalist mindset during talks with the European Union. And while this latest polling is good news for EU-minded Indy supporters, there's an entire other set of polling data that's currently causing headaches for the UK government, the secretive polling on attitudes to the Union carried out by the UK government over the past years. The Cabinet Office were earlier this month ordered by a tribunal to release all of its data on the subject within 28 days following a two-year battle with SNP MP Tommy Shepherd. But this week, things took a turn when it was revealed that Michael Gove misused public funds meant to tackle the coronavirus to instead be used to study attitudes towards the Union. The senior cabinet minister instructed an organisation called Public First to carry out the research. This is the same firm that Michael Gove was already found to have acted unlawfully in handing £560,000 to, because it is owned by two people who have worked for him in the past. And this all reached a new level of nonsense when Mary Black raised points about the long-term polling data that must now be released and questions about Gove's misuse of public money, only to be told by the Secretary of State for Scotland, Alistair Jack, that the Cabinet Office, quote, does not engage in political polling. Incredible. Black has gone on to accuse Jack of misleading Parliament with his statement. She said afterwards that taxpayers have a right to know if and how much of their money has been spent on the Tory government's political agenda, particularly when that money was supposed to be used to tackle a deadly virus and save lives. The only possible explanation for keeping union polling secret is, in the case of using a COVID contract to do it, it has been a gross misuse of public funds and it makes for uncomfortable reading for the Tories and their hollow rhetoric on the union. This is kind of a scandal and the Tories can't just stick their heads on the ground and pretend it isn't happening, but God knows, they're going to try. And finally, this week, Scottish Labour MSP Katie Clark has broken ranks from the party to state that a second independence referendum should happen if Parliament decides it needs to. Party leader Anna Sarwar has repeatedly refused to back any referendum anytime soon, despite the fact that a pro-independence majority were returned to the Scottish Parliament just recently. Hopefully, we will continue to see more voices from Scottish Labour speak up in support of democracy in Scotland. But that does bring us to an end this week. So, with all that said, where does that leave the State of the Union? As broken as the Tories' relationship with the truth. See you all again next Friday.